from 1 Peter 1, right from the beginning. What Peter has to say here through the Holy Spirit to the believers also applies to us in these days. Let us read 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Maybe up to here, this precious and holy word of God, Peter, this man of God, greets all the saints who live in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and wherever they all were. He remembered them all before God and greeted them in the name of the Lord, and called out words of comfort to them, that they should not lose hope, but look forward to what is prepared for them in glory. For we know that something has been prepared for them, yes, something that is perhaps not be found on earth, certainly not. This God has prepared for those who love him. And then, as it also says here, that the prophets prophesied of all this in advance, that this grace would be granted to them, that redemption would come, that salvation would be given to them. It was made known to them through the prophets. Even the prophets may not have known when it would be, but through the Spirit of Christ, as we have read, who worked in them, they had to prophesy it, and they most certainly perhaps waited with longing for this salvation to appear. But Peter now stands up as a man of God and perhaps says that the promises made by the prophets have now been fulfilled. What these men had foretold by the Holy Spirit has now come to pass. Although they may not have known when it would happen, perhaps no one knew, but everyone was eagerly awaiting it. And we would like to say, brothers and sisters, that we too are eagerly waiting for something. We are waiting eagerly, even more eagerly than the watchman waits for the morning. We are waiting for what? What are we waiting for? In those days, they were waiting for salvation, for Jesus Christ, that he should come. For it was announced, it was prophesied, that grace would come, and that salvation would come. And then Peter could say, now it is fulfilled. The promise has been fulfilled, and everything has come to pass. Everything has come to pass, as it was promised. Brothers and sisters, we can just participate in this with joy, because we know that the living God has also spoken in our day. He has indeed spoken and proclaimed his coming, and we are waiting for it. We are waiting for the rapture. We wait for him to fetch his own. And most certainly, just as they did not wait in vain, for God's promises remain, they do not waver forever, as we have sung. Most certainly, the day is coming, the hour is coming, when the Lord will take his own into his kingdom, into his glory. Brothers and sisters, isn't that something marvelous? It is something precious. We can rejoice and share in the call that has been given. Just the fact that we have been counted worthy to hear this call from God, to accept it, and that we could come just as we are. And so we are grateful to the Lord that we have come together here this evening to call upon his glorious name, to worship him, to bring him honor and praise. For all honor and glory is due to him. As I said at the beginning, the time is very serious. It is very serious indeed. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. Yes, you don't know what can happen tonight. It really is a very serious time. I've also heard that everything in the Middle East is on a knife's edge, that it might start there again. But our hope is in the Lord. And we know that everything must be fulfilled. Everything must go as he wants it to, as he has said. But brothers and sisters, because we see all this before us, how everything is being fulfilled, we can lift up our heads and know that our redemption is near. And so we can thank and worship God and give him the glory. Brother Frank will certainly address a few words to us afterwards, words of faith and comfort. Perhaps we should pray now together, and then Brother Frank can speak to us. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts, also for this evening hour. We thank you for your precious and holy word. We thank you, Lord, for the call that has gone out, that we were allowed to hear, and that we could come Faithful Lord, we have come here this evening not for pleasure, not for fun, but our longing, O Lord, is to have more of You, our Savior. Lord, we trust in You day after day, however the storm may rage. Lord, often we may stumble, often we may fall, but we rise again, we get up again, and we come to You again, O Lord. For to whom should we go, Lord? You are our God, You are our Savior, You are our Redeemer, You have made us free, You have made us Your people. Lord, here we are, Your people, Your children stand here before You tonight to hear what You have to say, to bring You honor and worship. Lord, we are Your people, the flock of Your hand. Hallelujah. Praise be to Your wonderful name. Lord, bless us all who have come tonight and who are yet to come, and tomorrow, and the gatherings ahead. Lord, we lay everything before You. You know about everything, Lord. May You speak, Lord. May You reveal Yourself, Lord. May You reveal even more what is yet to be revealed. Lord, we trust in You. We rely on You. For You are our refuge. You are our help. You have become all in all for us. And so we are glad to be here again this evening to sing praises to Your precious and holy name, to offer You the worship. Receive the thanks, receive the honor, receive the praise and glory from all our hearts and mouths, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord that we are allowed to be here to worship. This hour was not planned, but what better thing can we do than to come together and worship and ask the Lord earnestly to bless us, to prepare us, and at the same time, to think of all the brothers and sisters who cannot be here and who are joined to God. In general, that we bear God's work on our hearts, just as it was in the Old Testament when the priests wore the breastplate with the 12 stones that represented the people of Israel. And we have it now in the sermon that we translated, maybe coming out in July. Brother Branham talks about these 12 stones. And if a thing was of God, then supernatural light shone forth from that breastplate. And then everybody knew 100% that the thing was of God. In Luther's translation, the term is translated as lights and perfections. In the Menge translation, as Urim and Thummim. And you can read it many times in the Old Testament, 5 times, directly in Moses. Have you ever heard this word? Ever read it? I can't find it straight away either, and that's probably not my intention. But at some point I did read it, just so you know that it's written, probably in Exodus somewhere, in the last chapters. It should be that these holy lots were placed in the breastplate. But as I said, we are not going to deal with that now. Has anyone found it? Exodus 28. Exactly. Exodus 28. Thank you very much. Exodus 28. Here we can read from verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart, when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. There is an older sermon where Brother Branham talks about this very subject. Whether someone told a dream, gave a prophecy, or a revelation, the decision was not made by Aaron or his sons, but by the lights and perfections. At the moment when the person in question told his story in the house of God, before the Lord, God answered or not, one or the other. If it remained dark, then the person could sit down. Then it was a revelation from himself, and God remained silent. If it was God who had spoken, then the light came. And this light revealed the right. Today, it is not me or anyone else who speaks justice, but this word of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit, speaks lights and perfections. And I believe that the time has truly come when everyone must come before the face of God. Not that you give yourself and I give myself an answer, but that the Lord can give us His answer by grace. Then we are inwardly satisfied, because then divine light shines. And wherever divine light shines, God will come to His right and will help us to our right. According to the scripture, shall not God give justice to His own elect who cry day and night unto Him? We have already heard that the time is serious. And in Luke 21 it says that there will be perplexity among the nations. And that is exactly the case, not just in one area, but really in many, in all areas, there will be perplexity among all peoples. And for those for whom it has not yet become apparent, it will become apparent. For some, of course, it is already very obvious, but we can see that there is absolute hopelessness and helplessness, and mankind can no longer cope with the problems, one country not with its own, let alone with others. But we look to the Lord. Every time I think of the fulfillment of the scriptures, in this way, you hear about earthquakes. As recently, a few thousand are then somehow no longer here, and this and that happens. And you are certainly reminded again and again of God's word, that the Lord has foretold things, and they are being fulfilled worldwide. They are being fulfilled in Israel. And then we stand here as the Church of the Lord and ask ourselves, in what way, to what extent can God's word be fulfilled in me, in you, in us? That is the cardinal question. Everything else seems to run by itself in God's program, so to speak. Nobody needs to do anything to bring about inflation. The Bible says there will be costly times. They have come. Nobody needs to help. Earthquakes. Nobody needs to help. Wars, rumors of wars. The devil and the politicians will take care of that. But what about me, about you, about the Church of the Lord? And we will still have time to deal with a sermon, desperation. And it really does seem to be the case that God first wants to get us in the right frame of mind to be able to do what He has set out to do. And like the prophets then, who prophesied of the grace that was to come upon us, they wanted to know at what time. We, who hear these prophecies, also have a deep longing within us. And we ask, Lord, how much longer? How much longer will we wait until these things reach their fulfillment, their climax? And we know very well that God wants to and will speak to us in these days. And that is why we want to bring the meetings before the face of God in prayer and really ask Him earnestly. We don't want to pray in the usual way, but from the heart. There are two different types of prayer. One is in the closet, where everyone can pray for a long time, for grandfather and grandmother and uncle and auntie and whoever is on our hearts. When we come together here, knowing that the meetings are before us, we have a special concern to bring this matter before the face of God, to ask Him for the guidance of His Spirit, for the right word, the right sermon, the right attitude, enlightenment, revelation, instruction through His Word and through His Holy Spirit, that we might be as those who saw the Lord with their eyes. And I'm convinced they were overwhelmed. Every time the Lord opened His mouth, they only heard. And it says in the Gospel that no man ever spoke like this man spoke. And that is still the case today. Never has anyone spoken like our Lord. And He spoke clearly and distinctly to His own. To the crowds He spoke in parables. And the people went off with the parables and interpreted them privately and continue to do so to this day. But then the Lord turned to His disciples, called them aside and said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but not to others. For with seeing eyes they do not see, and with hearing ears they do not hear. But God has opened our understanding for the Scriptures. Let me just read quickly, and then we will soon go into prayer. This passage from the letter of Peter speaks in the second verse of the predestination of God, the Father, to be chosen in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling with the blood of Christ. May grace and peace be evermore abundantly bestowed upon you. Especially this thought, the sanctification of the Spirit. We know that our Lord prayed in the high priestly prayer in the Gospel of John in chapter 17, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." This is talking about election and sanctification of the Spirit. Every time the Word of God is revealed by the Spirit of God and we are imbued with this divine truth, and please believe me, it is written in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 that without Him nothing came into being of all that has come to be, but all things came into being through the same Word. And the Lord even called the world into existence through His omnipotent Word. And He sustains the cosmos and the universe in general through His omnipotent Word. In these last days, we have understood the meaning of the Word of God in a completely new way. It is not an enthusiasm about some kind of thing, but it is God's holy word through which all things happen. And God spoke through the prophets in diverse manners in the past, and in the last days He has spoken in His Son. For in the Son all the word that came through the prophets has become flesh, has taken shape, has become reality. Now, the promises made to the church, to the bride, are to become reality and find their fulfillment. There is no way around this. So when it says here that we are elect according to the foreknowledge for sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. These three things always belong together. Sanctification by the Spirit, obedience to His Word wrought by God, and the sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. May the Lord work this in me, in you, in all of us today. Not a self-made sanctification, but a sanctification of the Spirit. Not a personal justification, but a divine justification through faith in Jesus Christ, who offered a perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, not sprinkled with anything, but under the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. A word that came to me about this can be found in Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. There we are told very briefly about prayer, and perhaps it does fit here. And then another word from 1 Thessalonians 5. Here, In Romans chapter 15, from verse 3, it says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, one thought leads to another. The one is the condition for the other, and the one entails the other. We read about the consolation that the Holy Scriptures provide. And that is a divine consolation. When people comfort us, it is transient. When God comforts us, He does so by sending the Comforter, namely the Holy Spirit. And He said, "I will send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He will guide you into all truth." Now we have here the Scripture. With the comfort that the Holy Scriptures provide and the hope that we hold on to, we hear about patience. And here it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation," it does not come from you and it does not come from me. It comes from God. And we are here to receive all that God has to give us. If we already had everything, or could take it or give it, we wouldn't need to come at all. We come here and say, "Lord, you have given the promise. You have comforted us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. But at the same time, you have given promises. And we want to claim these promises. We want to experience them." Now the God of patience and consolation grant you also tonight to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. If we want to pray together and desire God to answer, then one person cannot turn to the right and the other to the left or in different directions. But we must be like-minded through the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this unanimity should be according to Jesus Christ, so not in my way, and not in your way, but in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that we all seek and find the connection with Him. And from this connection with Him, God's blessing will flow to us. After that, it will be fulfilled, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where this divine unanimity does not exist, there people disturb each other during prayer. There no like-minded prayer is possible. One person thinks this way and the other that way, and it is a to and fro. If only God could be so gracious to us tonight that we would bow before Him and be of one mind according to Jesus Christ. And when we see Him praying, He has struggled, He has supplicated, especially in Gethsemane, and we know that the time has become serious, and we can't get past it either. We have to face God and ask Him to give us an undivided heart, to serve Him and trust Him. And it says here, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that those who have become believers have not prayed in single file. Everyone has seen the geese. They never walk side by side. They always walk behind each other. And if there are 15 of them, it doesn't matter. They never walk two and two abreast. Never. They always march. I still remember it from the good old days, the way they march. But here we are shown that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that refers again to what we read earlier. It says here, chapter 5, from verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Not you, not me. We only place ourselves at His disposal. He will do it. He who cried out on the cross, "It is finished," has thought of me and you. He accomplishes everything in us who are under the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb, who are ready to obey His word, to allow the sanctification of the Spirit to take place in us. And then it says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. If we had to do it, we could say that one person tried for 20 years, another for 30, the third for 40, and the fourth for 50, and nothing much came out of it. Not your and my attempt, but His. It says here, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Do you believe that? Who also will do it. Then we are only those who receive, who are blessed, who hear, who receive in faith, and in whom God does what He has promised. In the opening word, we heard that the prophets not only prophesied, they searched, they longed to know when it would happen. They did not see it. We are living in the time when the greatest and most powerful promises of the Word of God will find their fulfillment. What a grace! With eyes opened, with anointed eyes, to be able to hear God's revealed Word for this time by grace, and to say, Lord, sanctify me by your Spirit in your truth. Thy word is truth. And I am already saying it tonight. Not the truth that we discuss, but the truth that is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, where all discussion ceases and we actually stand on the ground of divine revelation. That is where God gives the right answer, and then one brother no longer needs to instruct the other, no longer needs to ask, have you understood this correctly? Don't worry about that. Worry about whether you have understood it, whether I have understood it, because it really is written that they will all be taught by God. And that is absolutely the right teaching, not that one simply grabs the other and says, listen, I'm going to teach you now. You are not going to do anything, and I'm not either. We are all going to be sensible. We are going to be tame. We will bow before God and say, Lord, we want to sit at your feet these days. We want to talk to you, and we want you to talk to us. Sometimes it is better for believers to talk to each other about earthly things, because there is not so much mischief than when they start talking about spiritual things. Spiritual things belong in the proclamation. They belong in the service. They are part of what God has set out to do. And we should really take that to heart. And then God will be with us. And there will be absolutely no more discord. I long for the day when the rest of the discord ceases and God really comes into His own. How quickly is any instrument out of tune? And sometimes, I also want to tell you this, even good experts, when they take an instrument, one side is quickly out of tune and it is gone. Let the Lord tune us. Here not one person will auscultate the other. How a doctor is auscultating, how the heart beats, and checking the kidneys, here a little and there a little. No, He tries the hearts and reins. He looks inside us. We want to bow before Him. We want to talk to Him. And I tell you, if we will talk to Him in this way and ask Him earnestly to speak to us with complete clarity, not in riddles, not in parables, but from mouth to mouth, from mouth to ear, face to face, He will do it in these days. And we will all be grateful and glad for it. Praised and blessed be His wonderful and holy name. Amen. I think, if you don't mind, and you can kneel, those who can't shall stand, but those who can kneel, let us kneel and worship God. O God, we thank you with all our hearts that we can bow our knees, that we can thank you for the great grace that has been bestowed on me and all of us. Lord, not we can do anything, not we can take anything from you, but we come to you, O Lord. We look up to you, O Lord, and we know you are able to give us, O Lord, what we need right now in this last and serious time, O Lord. We come before you, Lord, and expect, Lord, that you will mold your people, that you will give us what we need, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, come mightily into our midst. Be present, Lord. Come with your good Holy Spirit. tune my heart yourself. Lord, tune all our hearts, Lord. Not that one must tune the other, Lord. No, tune us. Then we are rightly tuned, Lord. O Lord, as you would have us. And then our words will sound as it is pleasing to you, O Lord. Thank you for this evening hour, for these moments where we kneel before you, where we may praise you and exalt you. For you are my God, Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer, Lord. You have paid the price, Lord, through your blood. We are washed, Lord. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.